Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-1375. 800-245-1375. 800-245-1375. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-1375.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them, so you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1820. 855-325-1820. That's 855-325-1820.
Hey, listen up. The official all-digital radio app is here. That's right. The all-digital radio app lets you stream all your favorite channels all the time on all of your mobile devices. Take All Digital Radio with you everywhere you go by downloading the official app today at alldigitalradio.com. Or you can find the app in the Apple Store and on Google Play by searching All Digital Radio. It's simple, easy, and it's free. Just download, choose your station, and start listening. Your favorite radio network is now your favorite app. Go to alldigitalradio.com and download it today. Promote your music, product, or service on air for as little as $5. Visit our website for more details at alldigitalradio.com.
You are listening to the All Digital Radio.
This is international film and television star Nick Searcy, and for some unknown reason, you are now listening to Off the Hook Radio. God help you all.
I'm sexy and I know it.
You have one job.
I barely. Well, all of a sudden the advertisement cut out in my ear, so I thought something screwed up, and you know, yeah, whatever.
You have one job.
That was premature, Cersei.
Press the button.
I'm sorry.
Hey, this happened right. Last week.
He's you under stress. He's got 58 days left at the cider mill.
You've got to
get 60.
You're going to get fired.
I thought it was 62 days ago.
Yeah, no, it's actually officially 60 now, but because 60. it's 2 months. It was actually yesterday, in my opinion, because it's October is 1 month. And
October is 1 month.
Right, but you know, there's 31 days.
News so you can use on Off the Hook Radio, right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, it.
October is 1 month.
1 month. November is 1 month. To me, those are milestones. I just get through a month, whether it's 30 days or 31 days. It's just get through the month. So I'm measuring this in that I have exactly 2 months left. Which
the Broncos and the Chiefs are playing on Monday Night Football.
Yes.
And I am going to go to a Broncos game in November against the hated Pittsburgh Steelers.
Really?
Yes, I am.
Are they playing in Pittsburgh? No. Or are they playing in Denver?
Denver. I'd rather go to Denver. There's pot in Denver.
Well, told us last time what happened with that, so you might as well just forget it.
Yeah, I know, but I'll be at a friend's house this time, so I'll be able to
partake.
Well, We'll rehash that story when you come back. Okay. I guarantee you don't touch it.
I'm not going in another place and let them scan my Florida driver's license, though.
Yeah, you're already in the system.
Trace, so. I'll get the TSA finger up the ass thing on the way out. Oh, that's what I got to do. I got to get one of those TSA, passes.
Don't pat me down because I have pot in my
rectum.
Yeah, and they don't look at nothing. You know, take your shoes off, nothing.
Well, then get one.
$85 for 4 years. It looks like a good deal. I was going to do that. Matter of fact, I'm going to write myself a note. TSA thingy. Okay, there you go. I'll work on that.
We'll report back to us Monday.
I mean, I fly enough that it's worthwhile, you know, a couple times a year. So, hey, I spent the weekend watching football. I assume you did too, CB.
Well, I had some baseball sprinkled in, but I watched a lot of football. Yes, I did.
Yeah, fall ball.
Yes,
fall ball. CB Snow. He destroys the major league dreams of little children.
Small children.
Yes,
that's my job.
But when you weren't doing that, you were watching football, I enjoyed football this weekend. My Liverpool team should have won easy. They ended up with a draw.
That's football.
That's that kind of football. And then Penn State, you know, when they went up 13 with 8 minutes to go, I said out loud, I wish there was only 3 minutes to go because they lost by one. You know, but Dallas sucked one out, and the Ravens kicked the Steelers' ass. So, you know, the weekend wasn't a total loss. No. But I do have a regret.
I'm sorry. What do you regret? Yes.
I didn't tune into the Colorado-New Hampshire game last week.
Well, that's unusual.
Yeah, I know, because, you know, Colorado-New Hampshire just doesn't really jump out at me. It's like, oh, that's the game. You got to watch it.
It's not must-see TV.
No, it's not really must-see TV, but it turned out it really was. But thank God for the Internet.
God bless the Internet.
Because the Colorado Buffaloes have a Buffalo mascot.
Makes sense.
Buffalo mascot runs around cheering for the team and stuff and trying to, you know, get the fans riled up and everything. And they also have a T-shirt cannon.
As do a lot of places.
Yeah. I remember we were at the Tampa Bay game and they were they were firing T-shirts up and you snagged one and gave it to me. You're such a nice guy. Of course, you could never wear that in Massachusetts anyway. But it was a good snatch. And, you know, your reflexes for your age are incredibly good.
Well, it came a long distance and it was slow.
I was giving you credit. Okay. You effed up.
I'm being truthful.
A perfectly good story.
Okay. I'm sorry.
All right. But the Colorado mascot probably should retake T-shirt cannons 101. Because against New Hampshire last weekend, the Colorado Buffalo shot the T-shirt cannon in the wrong direction. And unfortunately, he had the firing end aimed right at his nether regions.
Yes, he did.
And considering the amount of time the college mascot was laying on the ground before the cart came out to take him off the field like an injured player.
He wasn't wearing a cup.
Now, we know that the Colorado Buffalo mascot is a male.
Well, obviously, most definitely.
That would have hurt a female, too, but she wouldn't have laid there for 15 minutes like an idiot. Of course, I think somebody said...
Firing it into your crotches.
I think somebody said in pre-show most women are too smart to aim it the wrong damn way anyway.
Yes, they do have a point there.
So there you go. If you want to go online, the video is there. Just Google Colorado mascot T-shirt. And it comes right up. There are a couple of videos. The videos of the mascot being carted off the field on the little four-wheeler truck is pretty much hysterical also. He's laying there one hand over the injured area and the other hand waving slowly to the crowd. I'm not dead yet. I kind of wish I was.
Not going to reproduce, but no wonder buffaloes are going extinct.
It might be a good idea if somebody that stupid didn't reproduce, but
yeah, that's just
my opinion. So anyway, that was fun. That was a fun football thing. I like talking football, especially that kind of crap.
Yeah, that didn't have a whole lot to do with football.
Well, the only thing about football that really pissed me off was the Cleveland Browns getting totally screwed by the replay guy.
Oh, man, I have no idea how they...
Was that friggin' horrible? They had the game won. All they had to do was kneel down three times and the game's over.
Yeah.
And they go, no, move the ball back 6 inches. It's not a first down.
I'm sorry. There was no way on replay you could tell where that ball was. None.
Actually, I thought they spotted it short.
So did I.
And they came in and measured it. And they go, oh, it's a first down by the nose of the ball. And then the replay guy goes, no, I've got my money on who the hell are they playing?
Oakland.
Oakland. I got my money on the Raiders. So we're not going to do this. And then, of course, the Raiders won in overtime. So poor Cleveland. I feel bad for Cleveland. I really do. And I can stop hating Cleveland. I've stopped hating Cleveland as soon as LeBron James went to L.A.
Well, that'll do it.
I've never really had anything against Cleveland. I just couldn't root for the Cavaliers. But, yeah, okay, the Indians will do all right. So we have, what happened today? Oh, we had big news today.
What?
Yeah, you wouldn't know it if you watched TV news, but there was big news today. NAFTA has been fixed. Trump telling Trudeau and at the Canadian Prime Minister, for those of you in Rio Lindo who have no idea, at the UN the other day, he refused the meeting with Trudeau because they weren't moving on the 300% tariffs they have on American dairy products. And Trump said, then I ain't meeting with a little wimp. And
I don't think he quite phrased it that way.
I'll bet you he pretty much did phrase it that way.
You know, you might be right.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is it? That was Wednesday. Yesterday was Sunday. By Sunday, Canada said, okay, those little pesky 300% tariffs we put on yours, we'll take them away. Give us a NAFTA court to bring complaints to if things aren't working right, and we'll save face with that, and we'll sign. And they did. So Trump got that done. The unions wanted that done. The Democrats wanted. I mean, look, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders, all three of them campaigned on fixing NAFTA. Okay? And so did Trump. And Trump got it done. So he held a press conference in the Rose Garden today to announce all this. And based on the media reports today, I think the entire deal with Mexico and Canada is about beer and penises. I don't think it had anything to do with cars or dairy or anything. I think just beer and penises. Canadian beer is good.
Do we import or export penises?
I don't know.
Okay.
But when I did drink beer back in the day, like, you know, 100 years ago.
I know what you mean.
I like Molson Golden. That was pretty good. Canadian beer.
Okay. I like hockey.
Yeah, hockey's always fun. Dos Equis Negra is not bad for a Mexican beer.
Yeah, Dos Equis okay.
A little hoppier, yeah. Yeah, the dark one, though. I like the dark one. So, you know, but, you know, the polls are still against Kavanaugh. You know, they were just slightly in favor of Kavanaugh, but now they're slightly against him. And, you know, I don't want to hash through all that crap. I mean, it's... You know, we've already got the 1 week delay going on here and stuff, but you know, I'm just pissed off. Trump didn't shove Amy Coney Barrett down the Democratic's face to start with. I mean, let him do this shit to a woman, you know, I mean, well, then again, it's the Democrats. They might've done it to a woman. Who knows? You know, they called Lindsey Graham gay on Saturday Night Live on, you know, two nights ago. I thought the left was supposed to be tolerant of gays. They call Lindsey Graham gay. It's a derogatory thing. So, you know, they don't practice what they preach. But, I mean, Amy Coney Barrett would be the person. If some reason Kavanaugh don't get through, she'd be the person he'll pick. And she makes the late Justice Scalia look like a moderate. So that'll teach him. But all these political games are depressing. It's not due process. And it's never been this way for any Democratic nominee. Like Lindsey Graham said, you know, he voted for Sotomayor and Kagan, for Christ's sake. You know, Kagan is obviously qualified. Sotomayor, But, you know, Obama was president and he said, okay, let the president have who he wants. But Graham did get it right. This is all about power. This doesn't have anything to do with drinking beer in high school or college or anything. It's crap. And Dems basically have demonstrated over the past 2 weeks that no matter how dull a Republican turns out to be, they don't really deserve to be in charge. They want power so bad that they're going to go, they're putting us all through this crap. So, and even the USA Today, which is liberal as hell, they put an article out the other day that's basically saying Democrats need to slow the hell down. This is, oh my God, if you keep this up, if you keep up all this stuff, this war on Brett Kavanaugh, it could cost you the midterms. We have him right where we want him. We can impeach this bastard. Don't rile him up. Don't rile him up. Don't wake him up. They might come out and vote. You know, he's remembering them. I'll give USA Today credit on one thing. They did remind the Democrats that Trump actually did win the election in 2016.
Yeah, they seem to have forgotten that.
Yeah, they have forgotten that. So, but I'm just wondering if this is going to end up in a civil war, you know, between Americans and Democrats. I think it's pretty cool. I did put up a post this week. I found that it said, is all this going to lead to a civil war? One side has 8 trillion bullets and the other side doesn't know which bathroom to use.
Right.
Yeah. So I did the Alfred E. Newman thing. What me worry? I'm not worried, but I am worried this craziness, you know, could actually get violent. There's a Twitter story out. There's a Twitter thingy out there. Turns out this commie group, I mean, seriously, a commie group. I'm not calling them a commies group. They are really a communist group. They're planning an armed insurrection on Twitter. They're brainstorming strategies for a violent armed insurrection against their perceived enemies.
And they're doing this on Twitter.
Yep.
That's not real bright.
They have a far left podcast and it's called The Guillotine.
Cool.
Wow.
Guys, is any of them named Madame Defarge?
They've got nobody in Rio Lindo will get that reference.
I know.
Okay, that was very Dennis Miller of you.
Thank you very much.
But I liked it.
Okay.
Because I'm probably the only person listening to the whole damn show or podcast that got it without looking it up. But thank you.
You're welcome. I'm going back to my knitting.
The Guillotine's got 5,000 plus Twitter followers.
And, cool. I got to follow this.
A quick little question for military-minded lefties. Should leftists train and organize an insurgent force where they blend into a civilian population for potential attacks, or a more malicious structure focused on holding and maintaining turf? I mean, seriously, this is what they're openly discussing on Twitter. And guess what? Slim, they're not getting banned.
Surprising.
Yeah.
What's the name of the group?
The Guillotine.
I got to figure out how to spell guillotine. Shit.
G-U-I-L-L-O-T-I-N-E.
T-I-N-E.
Yeah.
All right.
That's their podcast. And the guy is named Dr. Bones. So if you don't find it under Guillotine, it's at O-L-E underscore Bonesy. B-O-N-S-E-Y. That's his Twitter name. Old Bonesy.
Old Bonesy.
Old Bonesy. That's what he's calling it.
That's how I feel sometimes.
Yeah, the Guillotine podcast covers, quote, a global current events from a revolutionary communist and anarchist perspective. And they have nearly 15,000 Facebook followers.
Yeah, but 15,000 out of how many?
Yeah, but 250 active monthly donors. So they solicit money on Facebook and they get it. Okay. Now, obviously, Facebook is okay with this. Communist insurrection on Facebook, that's fine. You're against abortion, you're banned for a week. You do it again, we'll ban you for a month. I mean, you know, come on. You know, I can't wait for the antitrust suit against Google and Facebook. I really can't. But this shit's out there, folks, and if you think it's not, get your head out of the frickin' sand, okay? Here's now. This is not violent, but it's just as crazy as these people these Trump derangement people. We've got a feminist author named Jill Filipovic. New story out two days ago. Men, get ready. The feminist rage is upon you. In light of the heated Kavanaugh Ford hearing and Republican senators' push to install Kavanaugh, the left is combusted, particularly unhinged women who see this as their doom. The wrath appears boundless, and the people who bow down and grovel at the idol of victimhood will be the only ones spared for now. But the people who remain objective and unwilling to spit upon Kavanaugh without due cause are in for an epic tongue-lashing. Feminist author Jill Filipovic tweeted instructions to her fellow scorned women on how to get back at the man. Quote, divorce your Republican husbands, unquote.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, my God. She has signaled sleeper cell feminists living as Republican homemakers. And she's the author of H-Spot.
Are sleeper cell women living with Republicans?
She's trying to trigger them, yes.
Oh, I didn't even know such a thing existed.
Her book is called The H-Spot, The Feminist Pursuit of Happiness. I've never met a happy feminist.
No, they're always mad about
misogyny
something.
Misogyny is a feature of the Republican Party, not a bug. Trump isn't an aberration. Kavanaugh is an aberration. These are men who stand credibly accused of doing terrible things to women, put in positions of power saying do terrible things to women. Like Ted Kennedy.
Bill Clinton.
Like the Muslim guy in Minnesota. I don't even want to say his name because I can't think of it right now.
Keith Ellison.
Yeah, him.
Okay, you're welcome.
I mean, this stuff is just getting nuts. Absolutely freaking nuts. So I'm just saying, my son and his wife went out this weekend, and they were at the target range blowing shit up. So they're ready. I need to get back out to the range. I haven't been there in a couple of months. Oh my God. I might have to waste bullets during the insurrection. My aim won't be as good.
Well, then you should practice.
I should. You know, and apparently they have these wacky feminists in Russia too. Now, we talked on pre-show about this story, and apparently CB didn't know what manspreading was.
I had no clue.
Slim, you're in New York. You've been hearing about this for a while, right?
Yeah, not so much here, but
buses, trains, subways, you know.
Yeah, but not so much. I don't have buses.
Basically, when guys sit down and put their knees apart to be comfortable, it takes up too much room, and they call it man spreading. Apparently that's a big no-no to the feminists.
I learned something new tonight.
Yes.
I'm glad Off the Hook Radio is educational. I had no idea there was such a thing.
Yeah. You know, by the way, 200 protesters trashed Kavanaugh's house today, just so you know how bad this shit's getting. His family has moved out. But, you know, he lives in a middle-class home, and they put graffiti all over it and rubbed feces pretty much everywhere they could rub feces. So, yeah. But let's put those people in charge. Oh, my God. So, anyway, in Russia, the manspreading problem is being solved by a 20-year-old feminazi named Anna Dovgalyuk. And the way she stops manspreading on the subways and trains in Russia, she pours bleach on the men's dicks.
Ow.
Yeah. She says, men demonstrating their alpha manhood in the subway with women and children around deserve contempt. Contempt! And because she's had a gutful of Russian alpha males and she's had enough of their gender aggression. So apparently when you cross your ankles and put your knees out, CB?
Yeah, I'm in big trouble.
Yeah, you're being gender aggressive.
I did not know that.
You got to think about this, man.
I guess.
So she's bleaching men's balls on behalf of everyone who has to endure the manifestations, men declaring their macho qualities on public transportation.
Well, actually, my knees aren't really any wider than my hips.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get you to look at the bulge in my jeans, honey. I'm trying to friggin' be comfortable. I've got a bad back. Okay? Jesus Christ.
Usually, if I'm in a situation like that, I'll have a book in my lap, be reading anyway.
Well, that'd be one way to block the bleach, but then she'd ruin the book.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're in an enclosed space on a train or a bus or something, and somebody pours bleach, that's going to be a little uncomfortable breathing the air, isn't it?
That's going to be a lot uncomfortable.
I don't think she's thought this through very well. But she has produced a video manifesto titled Spread Your Legs, Here You Go.
Here you go.
She's done it 30 times. She makes the bleach solution 30 times more concentrated than the mixture used housewives doing the laundry.
Jesus.
And she's dumped it on the legs of 70 unsuspecting male passengers in the St. Petersburg metro.
Ow.
It eats the colors in the fabric in a matter of minutes, leaving indelible stains. And she suggests these stains serve the purpose of identification spots, so everyone can immediately understand which body part controls the behavior of these men. Oh my God, this woman needs laid. This woman really needs laid.
Well, what if you change your pants?
What if it soaks through and it makes your pubes white?
No comment.
Slim?
No comment.
Slim, do you man spread?
No.
Your legs are like 6 feet long, man. If you man spread, you take up like 3 seats.
Pretty much.
So are you in favor of shaming men?
This whole thing is just really bizarre to me.
It's all bizarre.
It's very bizarre.
I've got really bizarre though coming up.
Oh God, please.
The story of the week. Oh, it is the story of the week. And I really hate the picture on the sidebar of this story. There's a finger with Vaseline all over it. It's just, it's weird. Anyway,
I don't like the story already.
No, but this is a crime story. Now, these aren't really stupid criminals. These are clever criminals.
Okay. Well, we like clever criminals.
The best thing about these clever criminals is Slim could never be in this gang.
He could be four or five members of the gang.
Yeah, because they're midgets. Hagerstown, Maryland. Members of midget crime gang suspected of 55 break-ins. Three members of the so-called Irish Mob Midgets, Washington-based criminal organization.
Do they all have red hair?
Well, I'm looking at the pictures here. Two of them don't have any hair. One of them's got enough forehead. Daryl would be jealous of that forehead. And there's one guy. Oh, my God. He looks like one of those Martian guys. This is the so-called Irish Mob Midgets is based in Washington, D.C. It's a criminal organization composed of people of short stature. Three of them have been arrested this morning. This morning was 4 or 5 days ago, but, you know. Security camera footage showed the three suspects during a home break-in, in which the intruders entered the house in Hagerstown through the pet door. See, there's a method to their madness. Uh-huh. They also believe they could be behind 55 other similar break-ins in the region. Apparently, they can fit down chimneys, get through pet doors. If you leave a tiny window open, they can get in there. Yeah, the Irish Mob Midgets officially describe themselves as a nonprofit motorcycle enthusiast group for small people in the Washington area. But several high-profile members of the organization have been arrested in the past years on charges of drug trafficking, arson, and aggravated assault. Well, so I guess they had to finance the group some way, so now they're doing break-ins. Why don't they just stay home and watch Bridget videos?
I don't know. Good question.
Which is Slim, as skinny as you are, you could probably get through that pet door.
Oh, yeah, probably. But this one midget there with his forehead, he's not getting through no door.
Yeah, they probably shove him down the chimney.
They could use that as a fucking battering ram for the
They do have the mugshots of the three perpetrators. And, The guy on the right looks perfectly normal. He's just short. The guy in the middle looks a little dwarfish, and the guy on the left looks like he ain't from this world.
The battering ram, I'm telling you.
It is wild. But, I mean, you got to give him a little credit. It's kind of clever.
A little credit?
A little credit.
That's not nice.
Well, the pun.
You're making fun of them because they're small.
No, I said that accidentally.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm not buying it.
I used to go to Hagerstown, Maryland all the time. It's, you know, it's a decent little town, despite the fact that poor thing's in Maryland. So they have to put up with the Maryland government. But, you know, Hagerstown's fine. I used to have a business in Waynesboro, and it's right across the state line. And I never ran into a midget down there. Apparently, this gang is coming up from D.C. You know, there's no sense going through pet doors in your own backyard. You know, So they travel a little bit to create crime. But I mean, this is a real crime. It's 55 break-ins. Holy crap! We should import these guys to Florida. They'd fit right in. Or maybe they're scared of gators. I don't know. But what do you think they steal? Just anything they can sell, or
it's small petty crimes?
Or small petty crimes. Mostly children's clothing.
Yeah, really.
I don't know. What's that reality show with the midgets? My Small Life or something like that. Nice
Little Big People, Little World or something like that. Right, I don't know.
Is that what it is? I've watched that a few times.
They're divorced.
It's weird.
It is.
And the woman who is not attractive at all, she could never be in a Bridget video.
No.
And she has a normal size boyfriend who I think is her boyfriend because she's on TV. He wants to be on TV, but they have they have some normal sized kids. And then they have a midget son also. Midget son's married to a very nice full size woman. And they have a normal sized son who's married to a full size beautiful woman.
And I just sent you to a picture
of
on Facebook.
Your midget what?
It's not my midget.
Is it dirty?
No.
It's not dirty?
No, it's funny.
Okay, CB sent a photo. Yeah, that's the movie I was thinking of. What was that?
There you go.
Called?
Mars Attacks.
That dude looks like one of the guys from Mars Attacks.
Yep.
That was a funny movie. I like that one.
Yes.
Of course. I've got an 8-year-old sense of humor, so
yodeling would kill me too.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of the people vandalizing Kavanaugh's home, and yeah, the one is a Whipple. Oh my God, is she a Whipple? Oh honey, don't go out in public in those pants. Not good. Did you hear Trump though today?
No.
When he started answering the Kavanaugh questions, he freaking let him have it. No, I mean, you know, I understand the people in America who go, well, a president shouldn't act that way. But for those of us who have been listening to this shit and understanding it for 30 years, it's refreshing. You know? He called out Blumenthal, the senator from Connecticut, the guy who pretended he went to Vietnam and he was a hero in Vietnam. And turns out he never even went overseas, let alone was a hero. And then he breaks down and cries like a little wussy when he got caught. I'm so sorry. You know, if a Republican did that, the Republican Party would immediately pull the endorsement of the sumbitch. It's stolen valor. You know, our military people deserve more respect than that. And no, Connecticut elects this asshole senator. And then he sits up there preaching at Kavanaugh. So you drank beer in high school.
Yeah.
You lied about something. You lied about everything. This is coming from the guy who coming. What Trumpy call him today? Denang. What's his first name? Dick Blumenthal? Should be Dick. I don't know. Denang Dick. Or whatever,
Richard Cranium.
Whatever his first name is. And then he mentioned You mentioned the Chinese spy that Dianne Feinstein had on her staff for 20 years. Trump said 30, but, you know, that's just Trump. You know, he was correct on his point. He just F's up the facts a little bit. It's like, you know, you're making a perfectly valid point, but, you know, because somebody couldn't tell you it was 20 years.
You let the words get in the way.
Yeah, because all the media is going to do is, he lied. He lied. She only had a spy working for her for 20 years, not 30. See what a liar he is? And then he talked about Cory Booker, you know, the Spartacus moment, dude. Cory Booker wrote an article tattling on himself about groping a woman against her will when he was a teenager or something, just so that he could tell his friends he got the second base or third base or whatever the hell it was. He actually wrote it. Is anybody mad at Cory Booker? No. And then he sits up there and preaches at Kavanaugh. Okay, you couldn't carry Kavanaugh's jockstrap in sports or academics. And you're going to sit there and preach out. Thank God Trump didn't go with Kamala Harris. Thank God he did not go there. I mean, Kamala Harris, if you don't know Kamala Harris, she's the senator from California. She was the attorney general for a while. Kamala Harris's political career started in Willie Brown's bedroom, the former senator, head of the legislature in California for years and years and years, and a rather corrupt mayor of, was it Oakland or San Francisco?
No, I have no idea.
It was one of them. He was in her 60s. He was in his 60s. She was about 30. And, well, there's a way to get some head. I get ahead. And that's how she did it. So thank God Trump didn't go there. Although he was pretty funny when he said about he never drank a drop of alcohol in his life. He said, can you imagine how crazy I'd be if I drank, too? I thought that was pretty funny. Self-deprecating humor. I like that. So, yeah, but, you know, what's going to happen? What's going to happen in the midterms, CB? What are you calling for right now?
Oh, the midterms? Yeah. Oh, I have no idea at this point. I don't think we'll see much change.
Are they going to take over, crash the stock market, and impeach Trump?
No, I don't believe that that will happen.
Oh, I hope it happens. I hope it happens. He'll win. He'll win the next election with 400 electoral votes. I don't think it will either, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see. So we got midget crimes. Oh, hey, we
got to be in November.
Speaking of crimes, we're still having fun in Florida, of course. Florida is awesome. There's an asshole every week. Sometimes more than one. but this week was a guy over in Homestead, that's south of Miami. His name was Yohani Lopez. And he took extraordinary steps to prevent his pickup truck from being repossessed. But he failed. At least he failed spectacularly.
Well, that's good.
Yes. And there's video of it in the story, too. I mean, it's awesome. This guy had a Ford 250. Okay. That's a big-ass truck. Had a Ford 250. It was hooked up to the tow truck. You know, one of those bars they put on.
Yeah, it's not that big. My son has a 250.
Yeah. You know, well, it's bigger than the friggin' tow truck.
Oh, it's bigger than my Ranger, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. No, 250 is a pretty big truck. 350 is gigantic, but 250 is pretty damn big. It was hooked up, and the rear wheels were off the ground preparing to haul it away, and Mr. Lopez decided that even though he'd fallen behind his payments, he did tell the police. He told the tow truck driver he just wanted to take a few items out of the pickup before it was towed. Okay, so they let him jump in the cab. And instead of taking a few items out of there before it was towed, he fired up the pickup truck and attempted to drive it away while it was still attached to the tow truck and the rear wheels off the ground. So basically, we had a battle of trucks. They should have sold tickets and sold popcorn and stuff. This would have been good. The four-wheel drive pickup definitely had power. It had enough to lift the tow truck's front wheels off the ground.
Yep.
But the repo man won.
Yeah, he did.
But I mean, it's funny. The video, you watch the video, the tow truck goes up in the air and the pickup truck goes back up in the air. And it was a friggin' battle. So Lopez was arrested a few minutes later, charged with grand theft and criminal mischief. Grand theft. He's trying to steal his own
truck. Well, it wasn't his truck.
It was a bank's.
Oh, yeah. Or he's trying to steal a tow truck.
I tell you, can you imagine that being your job, though, being a repo man?
No.
Slim, do you know anybody who's a repo man?
No, just the repo man that I watch on Discovery Channel or whatever.
Well, they've got a show?
Yeah, there's one of those.
Oh, yeah. It's like Dog the Bounty Hunter for trucks.
Yeah, really? And they have an airplane repo one, and oh, yeah.
Do people shoot at them and stuff?
No, not normally.
Normally?
Oh.
They just come out, take the trucks, get cursed at a few times, and
in the repo one, yeah, there's a little bit more. Sometimes there's gunfire, but the airplane repo, no, nobody ever, you know.
Well, that's because people don't park their airplane in their garage.
Well, you'd be surprised.
We're out front of the house, unless you're John Travolta.
There was a guy who did. He was hiding his behind his trailer.
Really?
Yeah.
I got a kick out of John Travolta has a house down here in Florida. And he's got two garages built on his house. One holds his 707.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, he has a pilot's license.
Yeah, I mean, he can actually fly. And then he's got a smaller one, a Cessna Citation or something like that. But he's got garages right there in his house for his two airplanes. And obviously his own runway. Because if you're going to garage it there, you got to be able to take off from there. Because you can't exactly hook a 707 up on the back of a tow truck and take it to the airport.
No,
you could. You just take up most of the road.
I don't think the cops would be real happy about that.
No.
And to think how many roads are wide enough for the wings.
Yeah, never mind power lines.
No, I know. I knew a guy who was a repo guy once, and he wasn't a repo guy for long. He did it. He was making good money. He liked making good money, but he didn't like having to get up at 1 o'clock in the morning all the time because they always try and take these. Well, obviously not always. This Florida thing was in the afternoon, but they usually try to take this stuff at 3 o'clock in the morning so they don't get shot at.
Yeah, well, that's smart.
But yeah, but at 3 o'clock in the morning, somebody thought you hear your truck starting up. What's the first thing you're going to do?
Grab your gun.
Grab your gun.
Well, that's one. They've got to just make sure they're quick about it.
That's funny
when you try to. What gets me on this, and you know, it's reality TV on Discovery or one of those channels, and with the airplane repo, it really, I don't see how sometimes they get into some of these airports, you know, and actually manage to get a plane off the ground. I mean, a lot of it's got to be somewhat scripted because, like, I mean, security, there's just no way. I mean, have you ever seen it, CB?
The airplane.
Never repo fly left? The airplanes away.
Oh yeah, they jump.
Oh, well, they're not going to tow it down the road.
Right, they get in and they somehow make sure. The biggest key is they have to get the flight book or the flight log, and that's normally not kept on the airplane when the airplane's not in the air. The pilots take the flight log on. If they don't get the flight log when they repo a plane, they get only like half the money because the plane is kind of useless without the flight log.
Really?
So they have to somehow, in most cases, find a way to sneak into the office and find the correct flight log for that airplane and then somehow manage to get the airplane towed out onto the tarmac and then fly it away without the cops surrounding it because the radar tower has decided that there's a plane coming out that isn't supposed to be taking off.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're lucky they don't get blasted out of the sky.
I mean, they've had some cases. Again, I think a lot of this is set up where sheriffs did show up and had the repo guy in handcuffs until they finally got to the bottom of the fact that, yes, they technically were allowed to take the plane. But, I mean, most of the time they try to take off before law enforcement can get to them because they don't want to have to deal with the bullshit because they always get handcuffed until it's sorted out.
Right.
You know, and it just is a very big inconvenience. But these guys get anywhere from, you know, $10,000 to $50,000 to bring back an airplane. It's a like again. It's a good show.
I hope they know how to fly.
They do. The main guy can fly. I don't know. 30
it's a million-dollar airplane. That almost makes sense.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He can fly all sorts of different ones. But it just again amazes me that if there is any reality to this,
the way that they're able to just get through security with, you know, in a lot of cases and fly a plane off from a, you know, a runway that easy. Scary. Anyways.
I got to watch this show. What's it called?
It's Airplane Repo.
Airplane Repo.
Yeah, I think it's on Discovery or TLC.
I've got search feature. You know, I'll find it. Airplane Repo.
Yeah.
I got to see that. I like airplanes.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool show. You know, especially if you're watching on, you know, a binge watch. You know, one episode sucks, but it's pretty amazing.
Do they ever steal anything interesting like old military planes or anything?
They have. They've stolen, you know,
well, not stolen, repoed
some very expensive.
No, I'm thinking like a British Spitfire or.
No, there was one. I can't remember what it was, but it was some sort of military that was a civilian had ended up getting it into, and mm-hmm. it was quite a large plane, but I don't remember exactly what it was. It wasn't like C-130 size, but it was a big, it had four propellers like a C-130 would. It was a big B-17. Plane. It might have, I don't know exactly what it was, but they repoed one of those.
Cool.
They repo helicopters. They, you know, and of course there is the occasional person comes running out if it's at a grass runway at their house with their shotgun, but you know, it's not like Dog the Bounty Hunter, you know, or what is the same idea? The show is the same idea as Dog the Bounty Hunter, if you've ever watched that.
Okay, well, now this makes more sense. I was looking up some. I was trying to think. I've liked these kind of plane stuff since I was in Memphis one time and I went on the Elvis tour thing and got to go on his airplane at Graceland.
Yeah.
But apparently the one at Graceland, which I still thought was pretty cool, was a 1958 Convair 880 that he bought in April of 75 and named it the Lisa Marie. And then he spent about $800,000 on it, having it remodeled. So the 17-year-old plane, I mean, why didn't he just buy a new one? It wasn't like he couldn't afford it.
Well, yeah.
Right. And then he had another one that was a 62 Lockheed Jetstar that in 2017, they were trying to auction it. And basically, it was just a piece of shit. Nobody wanted to buy it, even though it was Elvis's. But he had that TCB on the tail of it, taking care of business. That was his little saying thing. I thought that was pretty cool. So anyway, I was in Elvis's plane. Elvis was already dead, though. So
yeah, he wasn't there.
I didn't get to meet him. No. Now this was in like 1998 or 7 or something like that. He'd been gone 20 years already.
No, he's not dead.
Oh, he's not? Oh, that's right. He works at the Circle K in Arizona. Yeah,
that's it.
I forgot. We did have that story a couple of years ago. Oh, man. So we got, we were talking about escaping with things. I've got a story about a guy escaping.
Oh, good.
And going back in Tennessee.
What a dumbass.
Wartburg, Tennessee. A prison inmate pleaded not guilty Tuesday to charges he escaped from the Morgan County Correctional Complex and attempted to sneak back in days later with a cache of illicit items to sell in the prison's black market.
Cool.
Robert Fusco, 37, was among eight people, including two former correctional officers, indicted earlier this month as part of the bizarre contraband scheme. Now, here's the weird part of the story, and not just the escaping, grabbing stuff, and coming back in. He was serving a 68-year sentence for a specially aggravated kidnapping, and he escaped a minimum security facility. Why would a guy who got 68 years for a specially aggravated kidnapping be put in a minimum security facility? He was captured as he tried to make his way back in the prison walls a couple days later.
How about because he's an idiot?
Yeah.
He had drugs, cell phones, and tobacco. Oh, man.
Idiot.
Yeah, somebody gave him hacksaw blades. Somebody smuggled in hacksaw blades to help him get out. It was his former cellmate, 30-year-old Jarrett Tolley. Now, the interesting thing about Jarrett Tolley, he was on probation at the time, and he got charged for smuggling these hacksaw blades in the prison as part of the plot. Tolley is now living as a woman under the name Alyssa Tolley. Apparently, a minimum security prison wasn't good for Jarrett's future.
No, I think they're all in trouble.
Yeah, but I mean, if you get out and you get your hands on tobacco and drugs and cell phones, why the hell would you go back?
Well, because I have a thought on this.
Okay,
because
congratulations.
99% of the time, he's going to get caught anyways and go back. So he may as well just go get all the stuff that he needed to go back and sell on the black market and voluntarily break back in and hope he didn't get caught with all the stuff. I mean, you got to admit, I'm
right.
Yeah,
but don't you think they would know he was missing? Oh. I mean, you just don't lose a prisoner somewhere and just go, eh, we lost a prisoner somewhere. We're not worried about it.
Yeah,
they would have known
he
was gone.
Well, he's now at a maximum security facility. Maybe that was the problem.
Did they say how old he was?
He's 37.
Oh, Jesus. So he's relatively,
a 68-year sentence.
Yeah, he's relatively young.
You know.
I mean, I could see if he was like 70 and they put him in minimum
70,
security.
He probably couldn't get over the wall to come back.
Hey, be careful.
He was trying to sneak back in.
Oh, I understand that.
Oh, my God. And the inmate that helped him on the outside is a former inmate who now thinks he's a woman.
Maybe that's why he wanted to get back in.
I'm not even going to go there. I'm not even going to go there.
You never know.
Tennessee, you're messed up, man. You are messed up. Hey, we got idiots. We got an idiot in Iceland too. It's actually not the person so much as the rest of them. apparently, in Iceland last month, an Asian tourist. They don't say what country she's from, but an Asian tourist was on a bus party, going around seeing the sights in Iceland. Don't know what they are, but I'm sure they. I mean, they've got some hot springs and geysers and things and. I guess it's cool.
Oh, no, Iceland's supposed to be a very nice place to visit.
Yeah. I know. Oh, I know a couple of comedians who go there every year and perform, and they like it. So Tom Schlue is one of them. He's on Fox sometimes. He's on Jimmy Fallon a lot. But anyway, this Asian traveler lady didn't recognize her own description, even though she spoke English very well, and she helped go look for herself. Apparently, she had gotten off the bus at a stop, and she changed clothes. And after she got back on the bus, other folks on there said, "Hey, that Asian lady that was in the, you know, let's say red dress, isn't here anymore. We got to go looking for her. She speaks English real well. She's missing." She helped them look for herself until 3 a.m.
Well, you know how people always like to go out and find themselves.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what she was doing.
I think the people on that bus are all a bunch of racists. She's Asian. They all look alike. But she didn't recognize. So the search began looking for the woman in dark clothing who spoke English well. And when the details of the missing person were issued, the woman didn't recognize her own description. So she jumps in. It was a night-long operation with 50 people looking for her. Eventually, she realized she was the source of the search and informed police. The search began on Saturday, was called off finally at 3 a.m. Sunday morning when she realized, oh,
it's me.
I mean, Jesus, God. It just shows all the stupid people don't live in the United States.
Well, the thing is, you would have think they would have, like, given people a photograph and say, this is who we're looking for. Because
right.
You don't just say, go look for somebody.
Well,
I mean, you have some information on them.
Maybe even she thinks all Asians look alike. I don't know.
Well,
I think,
maybe she's...
it's just racist, man. Anyway, I got another story here that's going to piss off PETA.
Okay. Oh, good.
Although I got kind of a kick at it. Olympic National Park in Washington State. Apparently, it's a very nice place. It's also full of mountain goats. And mountain goats have developed such a taste for human urine and sweat that they're starting to cause problems. So now wildlife officials are having them airlifted out of the park and away from areas where humans roam and pee. So obviously PETA will be blaming humans for having to pee.
Well, humans do have to pee.
I know, but it's our fault.
That we have to pee?
Yeah.
I drink too much coffee myself.
It's not actually the sweat and pee the goats are after, but what's inside it. Mountain goats can be a nuisance along trails around wilderness campsites where they persistently seek salt and minerals from human urine, packs, and sweat on clothing. They often paw and dig in areas on the ground where the hikers have urinated or disposed of cooking wastewater. The goats were introduced to the area that would eventually become the park a century ago, but in recent years, their aggressiveness has become a serious problem. One hiker bled to death in 2010 after being attacked by a goat.
He didn't pee fast enough?
I don't know. Maybe he caught him midstream. The animal stalked the hiker for more than a mile. So there's about 375 goats being airlifted to forests in North Cascades with between another 275 and three and a quarter possibly killed in the coming years to reduce the population. Of the 115 goats captured so far, 98 have made it to their new homes. 8 died, 3 were euthanized, and 6 sent to a wildlife park per the Associated Press. So now they are dying because humans pee. Why is PETA not all over this story?
PETA?
PETA, yeah. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
Oh, I thought it was P-E-E-T-A.
Oh, well, I think you made a bit of a joke there.
Not much of one, obviously.
But, no, I get a kick out of the picture of the goats in the harnesses being lifted up to the helicopters. They put like blinders on them so they can't see that they're, 300 feet in the air.
And then hopefully the plane doesn't get repossessed.
Yeah. And then the poor, what about
you repossess a plane? How'd you like to repossess a plane and be full of goats?
What about the poor pilots? What if they're sweaty?
A goat comes up and gives them a good lick.
Yeah. And they're horny. These mountain goats have horns.
Horny Mike.
Yeah. I don't know. Slim, you pee outside all the time, right?
Yeah. Not a,
I don't know if he does or not. I just thought I'd get him into this.
Yeah, no. I mean, yeah, we live out in the middle of nowhere. So, yeah, when we're having, if we're outside, you go up around the back and, yeah.
You don't have a goat problem.
No, I don't have a goat problem.
Okay.
No goat problem.
Good.
No goat problem. So, hey, you got about a minute and a half, so just make sure to say hi to LJ.
Hi, LJ.
Don't listen to this show.
Another show not to listen to.
Well, one of the things you always worried about, we talked about from watching live PD and shit, is, when they get your cell phone and they want to look on your cell phone. I mean, basically, if you've got 2 or 3 cell phones, they know you're a drug dealer because you don't use your real number for selling your drugs. But in New Zealand now, they just passed a law that when you hand over your phone or laptop to customs officials or law enforcement, you have to give them your password or you get a $5,000 fine.
Wow.
Yeah. Before you go to New Zealand, you better erase all your nudie pictures.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. You think that could ever pass here?
Nothing would surprise me in this country, so...
I mean, look at all the crap they had to go through. The FBI was trying to open that terrorist phone. Apple didn't want to help them. And remember all that?
Yep.
And eventually they got the Mossad to do it for them.
Well, if it's a thumbprint, you're pretty much, you have to open it. But if it's the passcode, you don't have to open it. And that's the way it is in most states. Anyways, we're out of time.
Well, mine's facial ID. What do I do?
I'm not sure now.
So. I'm screwed. Bye. They find Gerard Butler, I'm fucked.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-1375. 800-245-1375. 800-245-1375. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-1375.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1820. 855-325-1820. That's 855-325-1820.
Hey, listen up. The official all-digital radio app is here. That's right. The all-digital radio app lets you stream all your favorite channels, all the time, on all of your mobile devices. Take all-digital radio with you everywhere you go by downloading the official app today at alldigitalradio.com. Or you can find the app in the Apple Store and on Google Play by searching all-digital radio. It's simple, easy, and it's free. Just download, choose your station, and start listening. Your favorite radio network is now your favorite app. Go to alldigitalradio.com and download it today. Promote your music, product, or service on air for as little as $5. Visit our website for more details at alldigitalradio.com.
You are listening to the All Digital Radio Network.
Quiet on the set. All right, look alive, people. And we're live in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Idol Radio's back and it's better than before.
And now, Idol fans, here are your hosts, DJ Slim and Zip Allen.